Great to see everybody here today. This morning's lesson is titled, A Chasing After the Wind. Billy Graham once wrote, I've met so many entertainment stars whose day is past. How unhappy, how lonely, and how empty they feel. I've also talked with many athletes and former political leaders who feel the same way. They have a moment of glamour, a moment when they're known, a moment when their name is on the front page. Then it is over. And now they feel lonely, unhappy, and empty. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we read the words of Solomon, who had it all. He tells us, I tried everything. I sought every pleasure. I gained great knowledge. I possessed unsurpassed wealth and power. I had the power and resources to do anything I wanted to do. Yet, in spite of all that, in Ecclesiastes 2:11, he declares, Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 2, in the King James Version, he cries out, Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Or in the words of the NIV Version, which some of you might have, Meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. When Mark Chapman was sentenced for the murder of John Lennon, he said, I'm standing on the edge of some crazy cliff, and all I can see is oblivion ahead. I wonder how many people feel like that today and say to themselves the same thing. I'm standing on the edge of some crazy cliff, and all I can see is oblivion ahead. Let's continue looking at the book of Ecclesiastes and review some of the things that Solomon tells us about his life, about when he came to the edge of the cliff, what he saw, and the conclusions that he reached. First of all, Solomon acquired great knowledge. In chapter 1, verse 16, he wrote, I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. In 1 Kings 4:30, we read, Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the east, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. In Ecclesiastes 1:17-18, Solomon went on to say, I applied myself to understanding of wisdom, but I learned that this, too, is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. Now, getting a PhD may fulfill one of your dreams. For me, it was finally going back to college when I was 42 years old to fulfill my dream of earning my bachelor's degree. But all the knowledge in the world won't satisfy. You see, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. You can have your head full of knowledge, yet not have the wisdom to use the knowledge effectively and beneficially. Dale Carnegie once said that knowledge isn't power until it is applied. Applied knowledge is power. And your ability to apply the knowledge that you have gained to make an impact on your life and on those around you is the real power. That's one of the troubles with our world today. Our technology now surpasses our morals, and we are in danger of destroying ourselves. And we have the knowledge to do it, and have fashioned the key to our own genocide in the society that we have created. The Bible has a lot to say about the mind. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all our mind. But the Bible also says the world through its wisdom did not know God. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For our minds have been affected and infected by evil. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds are important, but we cannot just think our way to God. We must first come by faith, and then our mind will support our faith as we study the scriptures and find them to be true. Solomon had knowledge and wisdom, but they did not satisfy. He said, it's utterly meaningless. It's a chasing after the wind. Second, Solomon gave himself to pleasure. In Ecclesiastes 2:1, he says, I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. So he tried wine, women, and song. He drank the finest wines out of golden goblets. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He had every pleasure, everything at his beck and call. Hundreds of servants and exotic foods from all around the world. Yet he said, it's a chasing after the wind. It's empty. All this pleasure has satisfied nothing in my soul. Only God can satisfy my soul. Billy Graham also said, I've traveled the world over to preach the gospel. I have traveled all over Africa and Latin America, Asia and Europe, and the islands of the seas. And I have discovered one interesting fact. People are the same everywhere. As far as spiritual things are concerned, there is no difference. The human heart is the same all over the world, longing, searching for something that eludes us, and finding it only when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Permanent pleasure and happiness are to be found only in Him. Thirdly, Solomon tried riches. Solomon was one of the richest men in the world. His wealth was staggering. He He had a stable of 40,000 horses, 1 Kings 4:26. He sat on a throne of solid ivory inlaid with pure gold, 1 Kings 10:18. His country home, which was called the Palace of the Forest of Lebanon, was one of the most beautiful homes ever built, 1 Kings 7:1. His gold came by the ton. 1 Kings 10:14 tells us the weight of gold that Solomon received yearly was 25 tons, not including the revenues from merchants and traders and from all the Arabian kings and the governors of the land. Now imagine the worth of a ton of gold at $1,400 an ounce. That's $448 million for one ton of gold. And Solomon had 25 tons of it being added to his wealth every year. That's $11,200,000,000. Of course, he may have needed it to buy the food for 700 wives, 300 concubines, and all his children. And his royal daily grocery list, as given in 1 Kings 4, 22-23, was 185 bushels of fine flour, 375 bushels of meal, 10 fat oxen, 20 pasture-fed cattle, and 100 sheep and goats, plus deer and fowl. That was his royal grocery list for just one day. But one night, he sat in his palace, his hand clutching his pen, and he wrote, "Meaningless. Meaningless. It is utterly meaningless. It's a chasing after the wind." Now, it is not wrong to be rich. It is not wrong to have money. It is not wrong to have a bank account, a life insurance policy, or a nice home. What is important is your attitude toward money and material things. Are they first in your life? Jesus warned, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Luke 12:15. Solomon could not find real satisfaction in wealth. Nor can we, as much as we would like to try. Fourth thing, Solomon had great power. He had more power than any other man in his generation. He had the greatest navy in the world of that day. No nation dared to defy him. But he looked upon his mighty military power and said, "This too has not satisfied." How many people today are trying to climb to the top of the political heap in order to gain power and prestige? But when they get to the top, they discover those things don't satisfy either. Fifth, Solomon surrounded himself with beauty. Solomon tried surrounding himself with beauty. In Ecclesiastes 2, 4 through 6, he says, "I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees." And in Ecclesiastes 2, 8 through 10, he tells us, "I acquired men and women singers and a harem as well, the delights of the heart of man. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired." Surely, all those beautiful objects of art and those beautiful gardens that he built, and those musical recitals that he listened to would have brought him the peace and happiness he longed for. But they didn't. He said, "Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." Ecclesiastes 2:11. "I haven't found my peace and happiness yet," he said. Solomon was also very religious and started out being faithful to God. He sought to express his faithfulness by building the finest temple the world had ever known. It took 183,000 men 7 years to build, and it was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was made of stone, granite, and marble, so perfectly shaped at the quarries that neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron was heard on the site while it was being built. 1 Kings 6:7. And the whole temple, even the floor, was overlaid with pure gold. 1 Kings 6:22. Yes, Solomon started out being faithful. But then he and the people went downhill spiritually. Finally, God had to tell them through Isaiah the prophet, "Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations? I cannot bear your evil assemblies." Isaiah 1:13. Their practice of religion had become evil in God's sight. In some ways, it could be compared to a vaccination. When you are vaccinated against cholera, you may get sick the next day and feel like you have the flu. What you have is a little bit of cholera, just enough to keep you from getting the real thing. Some of us, maybe even you, may have just enough religion to keep you from Jesus. You do not know Jesus yourself. You're depending on a church relationship or on some religious exercise that you have gone through. But somehow, deep in your heart, you know that you are a long way from God. Religion without a personal relationship with Christ will not save you or bring the real peace that you want. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Solomon realized the emptiness of what he was doing. So he came back to God, and then he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes so that people who came after him might not make the same mistakes that he made. In the last chapter and first verse of Ecclesiastes, he gives this advice. "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" Then he ends the book with these words. "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Ecclesiastes 12:13. So where is peace? Where is fulfillment? Where is happiness? In Matthew 12:42, we read, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The one who is greater than Solomon in every area is Jesus." Of all the things that we read about Solomon, all of his wisdom and knowledge are found in their completeness and perfection in Jesus alone. The Bible says in Colossians 2:3, "In Jesus are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge." We don't have real knowledge. We don't have real wisdom until we come to know Christ. Jesus can become the source of our joy too. As the old song says, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins he'll wash away. Your night he'll turn to day. Your life he'll make it over anew. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Jesus offers us riches greater than anything Solomon ever knew. Spiritual riches, glorious and eternal, that we can lay up in the bank of heaven now. The Bible says of Jesus, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. There is power in knowing Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Matthew 28:18. And he offers it to us. The Apostle Paul proclaimed, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." Romans 1:16. In summary, all the wisdom, all the joy, all the riches, all the power are in Christ. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here, and he offers himself to us today. When you accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and with his help begin to live that kind of life, you will have joy. You will have the happiness and the satisfaction that comes from knowing him. But you have to take action. You have to hear the word. You have to believe in what the Bible says and what it is telling you. You have to repent. You have to have full immersion baptism. And then you must continue to live a life in accordance to Jesus' teachings. I urge you today, if you are not a Christian, come to Jesus while you can. Tomorrow may be too late. The Bible says now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. This is your moment of decision. Don't put it off. Won't you come forward as we stand and sing today's invitational song?